Savior is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun. The old king gave a party, brought the vessels of the Lord. They drank till nobody there was sober. What really stopped the band was when God sent a hand that wrote upon the wall, the party's over.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun. The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun.
Lifeboats waiting, get on board today.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun.
The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun.
Go and tell the world the party's over. Get your house in order for the coming of the sun.
The good news is that when the party's over for the world, celebration for the saints has just begun.
I have been teaching on the subject of man's inability to meet God's standard of holiness and perfection in his own flesh. He cannot do it, for the Bible teaches us that we are dead in trespasses and sin. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. When one looks at the religions of today, we can see people trying to appease God through different ideas and different religious activities. But regardless how they sacrifice themselves all their lives, in the end, they will have to stand before the judgment bar of God and be condemned into the lake of fire. We will ask the question, wouldn't that be cruel of God to condemn a person that has never known about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we know for a fact that the Lord is merciful, and we know that he will not send anybody to hell unless this person has chosen to go there by himself. The Bible teaches us in Romans that nature itself teaches about God, and people will be judged according to the light that they were given. There are many who have the Bible. There are many who have a conscience. All of us have a conscience. Nature is out there to proclaim the glory of God. There are many people all over the world presenting the Word of God, preaching the Word of God. And the Bible teaches us that the gospel has been preached to the end of the earth. And then we have those who have visions and dreams. I hear of many, many Muslim people who have visions and dreams of Jesus, and that's how they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if a person wants to see God, if he wants to have God in his life, God will make sure that that person reaches the kingdom of heaven. I have heard of many testimonies, natives in deep jungles where white men has never gone to, where they knew about the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, these testimonies have been shared with us by people who have had these experiences. So today I will teach on how the Bible, the scriptures, describe on what and how to get into the kingdom of God. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you. I pray, Lord, that you will open the hearts of the listeners so that they will understand. Lord, we know you're soon coming back and you want people to repent. So, Heavenly Father, I pray that you will anoint this message. Bless the listeners in Jesus' name. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, there is an interesting scripture. It tells us, "Be you therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." That is quite an order. In other words, you got to become as holy as God himself. You got to become as perfect as God himself to enter into the kingdom of God. So how on earth can man do that? When one studies the Word of God, it makes us very clear and sure that man is incapable to be perfect. For the Bible declares that man is an unclean thing. He is dead in trespasses and sin. But at the same time, the Lord God demands that we become perfect. So how is that possible? I know I'm talking to religious people who are depending on their religious activity to enter into the kingdom of God. And with this message, I want to tell you, it will not help you any, regardless how you sacrifice yourself. Throughout your life, you will still stand condemned before the throne of God. You cannot, and I want to emphasize, you cannot enter into heaven through your own merit or effort. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us that are saved, it is the power of God." That's where we have to turn to. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, we rejoice in the cross, in the finished work of the cross, and we try to proclaim that to our loved ones or our neighbors or to whoever listens, that there is only one way into the kingdom, and that is through the cross of Calvary. Why is that? Why are we so adamant about it? Because God has opened our hearts and our minds to the truth of the matter. We see our own inability to enter into that kingdom unless we are pardoned by God, unless we are made perfect. This is why we preach the cross. It's the cross of Christ that gives us entrance into the kingdom. And I want you religious people who are adamant about your religion to look at the scripture and seek out the kingdom, because you will not enter into that kingdom unless you go according to scripture. The word of God has been given us as a guideline, as a roadmap into that kingdom. We cannot go by our own efforts, even by our own conscience. For many people's conscience have been seared by religion. They have been turned away from the truth by their religion. They need to renew themselves by studying the Word of God. It tells us, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us that are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. In other words, he tells us that all the wisdom in the world is useless unless you're tuned in to God. The wisdom of this world is utter foolishness when it comes to the kingdom of God. We have to understand that. We will not in any way or form gain entrance into that place by the foolishness of the world's wisdom. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 3 that God spoke to Abraham. That was in the beginning of time. He spoke to Abraham about having faith to enter into the kingdom of God. It tells us in verse 8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. It tells us here that he would justify the heathen through faith. That is not works. Faith is not works. He will justify the heathen. Who are heathen? We who are not Jews are heathen. He will justify us through faith. And then he turns around and tells us he will use the heathen to make the Jew jealous. And by that, they will turn to Jesus through faith also. That is a very interesting twist here. The Lord Jesus Christ was brought to us through the Jew. He was delivered to us through the nation of the Jewish people. And the New Testament and the Old Testament was written by Jewish people. But throughout the last 2,000 years, it has turned around that God is using the heathen, those who aren't Jews, to bring the Jewish people into the kingdom. And how is it done? It is done by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, which the Jewish nation has rejected. But in this last decade, many, many Jewish people have turned to the Lord because of the preaching of the heathen nation. Yes, many Jewish people are now turning to the Lord. That is a prophecy that has been made long ago, that in the last days, the Jewish people will turn to Jesus and proclaim him as Lord. There is an interesting story in Genesis chapter 17, verse 1. It talks about the Lord God talking to Abraham. It tells us, and when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to Abraham and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. When one studies this, you would wonder, why would God wait till Abraham was 99 years old to tell him to be perfect? God wants us to learn something here. He trained Abraham for 99 years on how to live in faith. And then when Abraham was 99 years old, the Lord told him, "Walk before me and be perfect." God understood and knew that Abraham now knew the concept of being perfect. Let's look a little bit at the life of Abraham. When we study his life, he made quite a few mistakes, and the mistakes came when Abraham would try to help God out in the flesh. God promised Abraham a son. What did Abraham do? He waited and waited, and finally he figures he was going to take matters into his own hand. So he took Hagar, which was a woman of Egypt, a maiden of Sarah. And he went and conceived a son by Hagar, which was called Ishmael. But the Lord God told him, "In Isaac shall thy seed be blessed." In other words, he ran ahead of God. This is exactly how a lot of Christians try to operate. Instead of waiting on God in faith, they try to perform and do something in the flesh. And then finally, when Abraham was 99 years old, God knew that now Abraham understood that he had to live by faith in what God was going to do. And then Isaac was born. And we know that God tested his faith by telling him to offer up Isaac. And Abraham's faith was so strong that he said, "I will go and offer up my son Isaac, and God will raise him from the dead." He totally believed in what God was telling him. So the question is, why did God wait till Abraham was 99 years old? It is to be an example to us. God tells us that these things were written so that we can learn. He had to teach Abraham for 99 years. Till he finally came to understand that God operates different from man. We have to live by faith. So now we can study the life of Abraham, and we can understand that it is by faith and not by works. So God doesn't have to teach us now for 99 years. All we have to do is study the Word of God. And there it is written for us, not only by Abraham, but Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, and all the prophets of God, on how to live by faith. When one studies Hebrews chapter 11, we can clearly see that the only way a person can please God is by having faith in him. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ." So for those of you who are in religion, you need to pay attention. Your religious activities, your religious exercises will not get you anywhere. God has shown us how to operate in the life of Abraham and in the life of the prophets. So let's turn to the Word of God, study it, and receive the blessings that God wants to give us. And those blessings come by faith in Him. So turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today. Receive Him as your Lord and Savior, and that life of faith will begin. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
My buddies tell me that I should have waited. They say I am missing a whole world of fun. But I am happy and singing with pride. I like the Christian
person turns to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation, then his eyes open up to the truth on how salvation works. We understand that we cannot do it by ourselves. God seems to make that clear to us right from the start. We recognize the fact that we are an unholy and an unclean thing. All our righteousness are as filthy rags. This is one of the revelations that hit you like a ton of bricks when you become born again and you realize the depths of the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. The blood has completely cleansed us and made us holy in the eyes of God. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And without that blood, nobody enters into the kingdom of God. I will read you a few scriptures out of the Word of God that will give my words the stamp of approval from God. For I am speaking the words of God. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it tells us, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ." It tells us here that he has raised us up together with Christ. By grace are you saved. He has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Very clearly written here, he has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places, in Christ Jesus. Anyone who is born again by the Spirit of the living God has been made to sit with Christ. It says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk therein." It tells us, by grace are we saved through faith, not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody has anything to brag about. And then it goes on to say that we are his workmanship. He did it. We cannot brag about what we did for our salvation. We are his workmanship. And I guarantee you, when you get into the kingdom of God, you will then recognize the fact how out of our league heaven is when it comes to trying to earn it. The Bible teaches us that mind has not thought of, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard what God has prepared for them that love him. Heaven is totally out of our ability to somehow earn. We cannot. The price is far too great. The Bible teaches us it is exceedingly great. And then in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 14, it tells us, "For by one offering he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Isn't that a very beautiful scripture? First, he tells us, by grace are we saved through faith, that not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. And then he goes on to tell us, "For by this one offering that Christ made, he has perfected forever them that are sanctified." Forever means throughout eternity. The minute you're born again by the Spirit of God, your perfection started. Your eternal life is then ahead of you. So study these scriptures, make them your own. Seek the Lord, find out what scriptures really are teaching. The Lord is willing that none shall perish, and he teaches us in his word that he wants us to be full of joy. We should rejoice evermore. What is there to rejoice in if we do not know that we are the children of the living God? The Bible teaches us in Luke chapter 10, verse 20, that we should rejoice that our names are written in heaven. If we don't know that our names are written in heaven yet, then we have no case for rejoicing. So open your heart to these scriptures. Open your heart to the truth of the Word of God, and you will become a blessing to yourself and to many around you. The Lord will open your heart to these awesome truths and make you a blessing. Amen.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.